Welcome to the Mind-Muscle Connection Podcast, a show that is dedicated to educating you on applying science-based training, nutrition, and mindset strategies from some of the top minds in the industry to help you build a leaner, stronger, and more confident self. I'm your host, Jeff Hain. Let's dive in. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mind Muscle Connection Podcast. Today is a solo episode and I have a topic I want to go over. But before I dive into that, I just have a few ways that you can help support the podcast. One, if you found this podcast to be helpful in any way, if you could leave a rating and review, and that will help more people find this podcast. Next, you can follow me on Instagram, Jeff, H-O-E-H-N underscore, and that's where I'm most active on social media. And so if you want to reach out to me with any questions or anything, that's the place to do it. And then again, I post the most content to that. And then lastly, I have my one-on-one online coaching service. And with that, I help you lose body fat and build muscle with my strategic dieting and training methods. We look at things like your lifestyle and biofeedback to individualize your training and nutrition program to you and your specific needs. I also find that there's at least one, two bottlenecks outside of the training protocol and the nutrition protocol that's, you know, keeping you from seeing results. Again, this can be mindset, just things you do from day to day, just things that you're likely to overlook. And so if you're interested in that, you can reach out on Instagram or there's a link in the show notes that you can go through. So with that out of the way, let's dive into today's topic. So what I want to talk about today are what I call JH fat loss laws. And so JH being JH Health and Fitness, that's my coaching company. And so this is kind of like my, you know, things that I deem super important for clients when they are partaking in a fat loss phase, right? So, you know, like I've talked about multiple times, if you're new to this podcast, maybe you aren't familiar, but with all my clients, I work in different nutrition phases. So the most common are going to be fat loss phase, a recomp phase, a building phase, and then like a quote unquote maintenance phase. And so the biggest reason why we work in phases is because your body adapts to what you're doing. And again, if you always fat loss diet, your body's going to adapt to that. If you're always gaining weight, you know, again, your body's going to adapt to that. And so we need to, you know, we need to make sure we're not sending the same signal for extended periods of time. Now, obviously being at like homeostasis, like your maintenance weight, that's going to be solid. And again, in future episodes, I'll talk about maintenance phases, but, and then again, there's just probably certain phases of your life that call for different nutrition phases, right? It's like if you're about to have a baby, is a fat loss phase the best phase for you at that period of time? Probably not, right? So again, different phases are going to call for, or different phases of life are going to call for different phases of nutrition. And so my big thing here is like the biggest thing that I tell people with this, because that where I feel like most people fall into is this camp of like, it's important to get away from always trying to diet for fat loss. Now, let's take, you know, so that's the person that, again, you're always like, into your fitness and that, but every time you dive into it, you know, again, you're just trying to lose body fat and you're just trying to stay your leanest 24/7. Again, that's somebody that we want to try to get away from always fat loss dieting. Now, on the other hand, you know, we might have somebody who is overweight and they continue to gain weight. Now with them, you know, we do want to get them out of that calorie surplus for a period of time, right? But what we want to look out for is when that person that's overweight is trying to lose weight, we want to make sure that, you know, they don't go all or nothing with it, where the only time they're ever focusing on anything is when they're just trying to lose body fat. But in saying that, for people that are going to partake in a fat loss phase, I want to go over some laws that I've deemed important, again, for clients here. So in this, I'm going to go over 8 laws that I have in each client's fat loss phase. And these laws are going to help you lose fat during the fat loss phase. But the big thing is they're also going to set you up for long-term success, because we know that people know how to lose weight, lose body fat, but it's that period after that they struggle with. So let's kind of go over, you know, what the goal is on the fat loss phase. And it's just that, it's to lose body fat. Now what I'll say on this is it's where people get it wrong most of the time is they just focus on scale weight loss. And that's a way to obviously get weight off. But the problem with that is what that weight is made up of. Okay. So the things that we're going to do are going to play a big role in terms of, okay, so we know that scale weight is going to be like your water weight. It's going to be lean body mass, like your muscle. It's going to be fat mass. It's going to be all these, you know, your bones, everything like that. But then from there, it's like, okay, what that weight is made up of is going to have a big effect on how you look at any given body weight. Okay. So when we're losing body fat, and when people, you know, want to like quote unquote lose weight, we want to make sure that we are that most of that weight that we're losing is coming from fat mass. Okay. So that is the goal, right? It's to lose fat, but also to maintain as much lean body mass as possible. That's always the goal with fat loss phases. And again, it's also to make sure that we know the client's going to feel hungry, but also we want to make sure that they are feeling okay in the process. Now, certain situations, for example, I have a client who is needing to cut weight for a MMA fight. Now for him, you know, what we have, our protocols are going to be a little bit different than somebody who, a Gen Pop client, you know, just Sally or Jimmy, who just want to lose 10 to 15 pounds and look leaner for the summer, right? Like the protocols are going to be different there for that. And again, what I'm going to go over here is it will help both people, but it's again, mainly going to be focused on that person who's just trying to get leaner and just look better overall. But again, that's the main goal of fat loss phase, lose body fat, and then to maintain as much muscle in that process. So what this is typically going to involve is less food, right? And we'll talk about why, but there's going to be less food, and which means there's going to be less flexibility with food choices, right? You're going to have to be a little bit more selective, and you're going to have to be on top of that more so than you would in like a maintenance phase or a building phase. And then one thing, you know, I do place a large emphasis on in fat loss phases is, like I said, maintaining muscle mass. And with that, you know, we need to make sure that we lift weights. Again, a lot of times when people go into a fat loss phase, again, they are just trying to get weight off as quickly as they can. They don't lift weights. They wait to lift weights till afterwards. And that is a big mistake that people make. So those are some things there that I wanted to go over first before I dive into the law. So law number one, you must be in a calorie deficit. Whatever you do, it has to put you into a calorie deficit. You know, there's many different ways that you can get there. You know, you can track calories, macros, you can do meal plans, you know, certain diets like keto or low carb. All those things are helpful in terms of getting you into a calorie deficit. There's many different ways to get there. But again, at the end of the day, we need to make sure that the energy we're taking in is less than the energy that we are expending, because that's going to get you into a calorie deficit. But it's like, okay, how do I know if I'm actually in a calorie deficit? If your weight or measurements are not trending down over time, you are not in a deficit. And so at that point, what needs to happen is you either need to find ways to eat fewer calories or increase your activity, or a combo of both. Okay. So again, if that weight's not trending down and or measurements aren't also going down, or like clothes aren't fitting better, you're not in a calorie deficit. And we'll kind of talk about, you know, it is a calorie deficit is very challenging to adhere to. So that's where most people go wrong. It's just super hard to do it. And if you're not aware of certain things that are going on, and or you don't have these laws in place that I'm going to talk about here, it's going to be an uphill battle to actually lose weight, right? Because in that weight loss process, when you are in a calorie deficit, the fat loss process, I'm going to use those interchangeably, but you guys know the difference now at this point. You know, as your weight's trending down, you know, you're going to see hunger increase. Hunger is going to come up. And if you're not tracking anything and you just kind of listen to your body, it's going to be really hard to get your body weight to trend down. Your body's going to want to stay where it's at. And then obviously when you bring it down, it's going to want to go back to where it was and potentially overshoot as well too. So you have to be careful with that. So again, being in a calorie deficit is not easy. It is very challenging. Like I said, all the following laws will help you get into a calorie deficit, but without a calorie deficit, you're not going to lose body fat. You can't gain weight and be in a calorie deficit. Again, it's not easy for some people to get into one, but it must be done. So this is why with online clients, we track activity levels, again, ideally through steps, and we also pair that with their weight, and we take that 3 times per week and average out the 3 weigh-ins. If it isn't trending the way we want, then we make an adjustment or see if they're overlooking something. But you must be in a calorie deficit to lose body fat. So that's the first law there. Again, you know, it doesn't matter what diet you're doing. It doesn't matter what method you're doing to track your diet. If you're not seeing your weight trend down, you're not in a calorie deficit, and you need to look into things further. And I think a lot of times, like, well, sometimes the advice of just getting in a calorie deficit isn't helpful. Like I said, it is very challenging. I have other resources that I've gone over multiple times about, like, you know, what to do if you're having trouble sticking to a calorie deficit. Next, the next law is we must have a time frame for being in a calorie deficit. Again, like I said, we work in different phases, and so you cannot be in a fat loss diet forever. You must have a time frame for how long you're going to be in a fat loss phase. Not only does this help clients with adherence during the fat loss phase, but it also shows that this is only a temporary process, and this isn't something that you're going to do forever, right? And again, I think that's super important to make known that this fat loss isn't a lifestyle. It's a phase that you do in a short period of time. And thanks to Jeremiah Bear for, you know, he had a post the other day that was something like, fat loss isn't a lifestyle. It's just a phase. And that's essentially what it is. And we know that the body will adapt to what you're doing over time. So kind of how does this work out in practice? So 8 to 16 weeks seems to be the sweet spot for fat loss phase length for most clients, but some clients are able to go longer. And this is going to depend on like clients' current weight, body fat levels, diet skill, how adherent they are as well, right? Like if you're, I give a big range, and again, that range could get even bigger, but if you're adherent, 8 to 16 weeks is where most people at once they get past that point, it's like, it's really tough to stick to. Now you'll find people that can stick with it a lot longer than 8 to 16 weeks, but then it's typically their adherence is a lot lower and weight loss is a lot slower. So again, if we're adhering to what we're doing, 8 to 16 weeks seems to be that sweet spot. Now, again, there's people that are a little bit higher in body weight that can in higher body fat levels that can probably go a little bit longer than that. So like I said, if you have a lot of weight to lose, your fat loss phase duration can be longer. And with this too, like you don't have to have it be like, I'm for some people setting it as a goal of like 10 weeks and I'm done. That works for a lot of people, because what you want to be careful with is you end up getting in this, what you want to be careful with is getting in that endless cycle of like 1 foot in, 1 foot out of fat loss. It's like 1 week you are fat loss dieting, then the weekend comes around and you want to enjoy. So you're not, you just want to avoid that. And I think once you start getting to that point, it's like, even if you didn't hit the goal weight that you wanted, you still probably need to transition out for a period of time and work on your habits. One thing I like to do with clients is, hey, let's either end it at this date or by the time you get to this weight. So let's say, just for example, client wants to get down to 155. Let's either get you to 155. And once you get to 155, we're going to take a break. Or if you don't get to that weight by, say, January 31st, all right, we need to take a break anyways. That's another good way you can do it. But we want to make sure we have some sort of end date here with this fat loss phase. Third law is you must have a lean source of protein in each meal. Protein not only helps you build and maintain muscle, which is what gives your body that shape. And again, we know that that is one of our main goals here of a fat loss phase, but it also keeps you full, which can help you with diet adherence, right? I mean, one of the biggest reasons why people can't stick to their diet is they're just super hungry. So if we can dial that back, that's going to be helpful. It does increase your energy expenditure slightly. Now, this is a small increase, but I think anything that we can do is going to help there. Where that energy expenditure increase comes from is from a concept called thermic effect of food. So whenever you eat and digest and absorb food, that does require calories to do that. And protein typically generally has the highest thermic effect of food. So you'll see that spike up just a little bit. If you want to track, aim for about 0.8 to 1.2 grams per pound of body weight per day. If you don't want to track, aim for 1 to 2 palm-sized portions of protein per meal, or at least 20 to 30 grams per meal. And that can be good enough there to do that. So again, we want protein to help maintain muscle and potentially build it depending on where you're at, but also from the fullness aspect of it. And there's probably going to be a small uptick in your energy expenditure. Nothing crazy. It's not like you're going to be able to eat 500 more calories. We're probably looking at anywhere from like 10 to 50 calories per day, maybe a little bit more. But like I said, all of this is going to add up. Number four, choose a number of meals you can stick to each day. Pick an amount of meals you know you can eat each day and then eat them around the same time. This will get you into a good routine and gives you a solid foundation for each day. And it will take a lot of guesswork out from day to day. This is why I like it for clients. It's not like there's some magic benefit. Now, suppose, you know, in the research, there might be a small benefit of like eating meals around the same time. But again, it's not going to be anything that's large. What you do from a day in and day out standpoint is going to be more important, and you need to focus on that first. But what I like about the meal timing and having the same number of meals is like, it helps you get a foundation to each day. You know, I think you're going to get yourself into trouble if one day you have 2 meals and you have 5, then you have 2, then 3. Like if it's all over the place, it's going to be really hard to moderate that and again, have that foundation. So this is why I think it can be super helpful to be like, okay, I'm having 3 meals per day. You know, that's going to be around 7 to 10. I'm going to have my second meal around 12 to 3, and I'm going to have my third meal around 5 to 8, right? Whatever you want to do, and you can do it in 4 meals, you can do it in 5, but whatever you do, have that structure. This has been something for me that's really been helpful, and it helps me take a step away from having to track everything religiously, because it's like, again, I know kind of what I'm going to, how many meals I'm going to eat per day, so I can adjust my intake for that day if maybe one meal is a little bit larger than the other. But again, that structure there has been super helpful, so I can't preface, you know, I can't push that enough on clients. And again, I really try to get clients who are in fat loss phases, be like, hey, these are the amount of meals we're going to eat per day. Let's get some structure from day to day. And so, like I said, if you know, you can take this, if your weight isn't trending down over time, you know that you can eat a little less in each meal. So like I said, also, there's no magic meal amount. It's all what you can stick to, you know, 3 to 5 meals per day seem to be best for most clients. I think anything less than three, it's like probably not going to be great from, remember, one of our main goals is to maintain as much muscle as possible. Probably not great from that standpoint if you go less than three. And then more than five, and it's just like, it's, you know, you're probably eating, your meals are too small, and you might find that like you're just hungry throughout the day. So definitely, you know, make sure you just don't fall too far on either side of the spectrum. Next one is aim for a step goal. One of the things you can do to get into a calorie deficit is to increase your activity levels. Tracking steps is a great way to see your overall activity throughout the day. The biggest thing is like a lot of people will work out like say 3 to 5 times a week, and then they think that that's what they need to do to like burn fat. But again, it's your overall energy balance for the day. So a lot of times what happens in those situations is clients will do that. They'll burn a lot of calories in that 1 hour, but then for the total day, they actually aren't moving very much. And so you're just kind of making this process tougher. And you know, that more intense exercise is going to burn more calories in that short amount of time is probably going to spike hunger a little bit. In most cases, you know, not for everybody. So you end up finding somebody that's like working hard, but they're actually just not being as efficient as they could be. So I like to track steps for clients to see where that overall activity level's at. And so with this, you know, we're increasing your energy expenditure, but also by avoiding being sedentary, you can help with appetite regulation. So again, you're by staying active and tracking steps, you're obviously going to be expending energy doing that. But then also with low levels of physical activity, like when somebody's sedentary, like I think like 5,000, sub 5,000 steps per day, it does tend to, like in the research, it looks like there's some like appetite dysregulation going on, where it's a lot tougher for people to kind of regulate their appetite, which can lead to overeating. And then lastly, tracking steps can be much more practical than asking someone to dedicate 30 to 60 minutes to the gym on top of their weight training, because really you can incorporate it into your day. That's why I love it. You know, you can park further away, you can walk and talk on the phone, you can go shopping, you can go outside with a loved one, get some steps in. So it's a great way to incorporate it into your lifestyle. For most clients, I try to push for at least 8 to 10K. Depends on their lifestyle, but 8 to 10K seems to be the sweet spot for, you know, 90% of people. Next, no snacking. During a fat loss phase, I really push clients to not have any snacking. You know, we only eat during meals, right? You set up that time, the amount of meals you're going to eat per day. Hey, we're going to have three meals. All right, those are the only times that you're going to be eating throughout the day. Why do I do this? These types of foods are usually tasty and very calorie dense, and they don't fill you up and just make you hungrier. So this is why people sometimes feel like they're just always hungry, is they're just snacking. They're constantly snacking and grazing. And it's like you're eating these foods that are they're making you want to eat more, not filling you up, not providing you any nutrients or anything like that. So you just end up feeling like you're just always hungry and you're never getting full. So we really need to work on, I really work on making sure clients do not snack during a fat loss phase. You know, we're really focused on full meals and just making sure that we're filling up in those meals. So then that way we can limit hunger throughout the day. The next big one is limit/no alcohol. You know, I give some clients some flexibility here. You can drink alcohol during a fat loss phase, but the more often you do it and the more you have each time you drink, the more likely it's going to negatively affect fat loss. So you could definitely fit alcohol in, but again, with us being in a fat loss phase, calories are a little bit lower, and so you don't have as much to work with. And so if a big chunk of that is coming from alcohol, you're going to feel like crap. You're going to be missing out on a lot of vitamins and minerals that are going to help you feel good in the process. You know, you're probably going to be lower protein. But the other big thing with this too is like, it also can spike hunger. So that's obviously going to make sticking to a calorie deficit tougher. And then from there, it can affect sleep, right? Which is going to impact maintaining lean body mass, but then it's also going to spike hunger the next day and cause you to potentially have lower energy levels. So we really want to be careful with alcohol. I highly recommend avoiding it during this time, but if you must have it in, or you're really good at like moderating it and knowing how to manage it, I have a client pick an amount per week that they can stick to and a number of drinks each time they drink. So for example, I'm in a mini cut, calories are pretty low. My fiance was having a glass of wine last night. Rather than pouring myself a glass of wine, I just made sure I just took a couple drinks. And again, I know that, hey, hunger might ramp up a little bit from this, but I know what I need to do. Try to keep it as far away from sleep as possible. So again, there's things that we can do here to where, like I said, if you kind of know what happens with it, you can be a little bit more flexible with it. But for the most part, really try to limit alcohol during a fat loss phase. Now, you know, maybe you'll have a wedding come up. And this is where too, with fat loss phases, it's important to kind of look ahead and see what events you have. And this also is a great point in that this is why we don't always want to be in a fat loss phase, because it's like, oh, hey, I'm always fat loss dieting. I can't ever drink. Well, again, like if you enjoy it, like we want to try to work this into your lifestyle. So, but to go back to what I said about the event, like this is where looking ahead and being like, if you have a vacation or a couple events that you know you want to enjoy, but you're in a fat loss phase, this is where looking ahead can be super helpful and planning ahead for that. Because again, it's all about what you do for the week and over time. It's not just one day, it's what you do. And so if you have an event, you know, just planning around that can be super helpful there with that. Lastly, and this is one again that gets overlooked, my next law and the very last one is have a plan for after the fat loss phase. Remember, this isn't what you have to do forever, but this is only during a fat loss phase. Okay. So all these things you're going to be doing, or again, we know there's going to be less flexibility during a fat loss diet. So, but like I said, we want to make sure that we are, you know, I want to make sure I'm letting clients know that this isn't how you need to be 24/7, 365. Like this is just a phase. And again, we're not going to be doing this all the time. However, when the fat loss phase is over, you do need to have a plan. This looks different for everyone, but it's important you don't go from being 100% on and then to nothing, right? Where it's like, hey, I have my meal plan. I have how many meals I'm going to eat per day. I'm going to limit alcohol. I'm not going to snack. And then all of a sudden you are done with the fat loss diet. It's like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to eat whenever I want, eat whatever I want. I'm going to drink as much alcohol as I want. Like we need to make sure we have some sort of game plan after the fat loss diet. And this is why most people, you know, they end up cycling through the same 15 pounds year over year with no change in body composition. I think it's not a bad idea. I think it's okay if you cycle through the same 15 pounds so long as your body composition is improving, right? You're losing fat, building more muscle, and over time, you know, maybe that 150 that you get down to looks different each time. You have more muscle, less body fat. But if you're losing the same weight year over year, no change in body composition, maybe even a worse body composition, then you need to have some sort of game plan after the fat loss diet. Just for an example here, I have a client who we're in the middle of a fat loss phase. She's going to have to move on from coaching, a job change. And rather than being like, hey, let's just keep pushing fat loss, I'm like, all right, you know, this is going to be our last week in your fat loss diet. We're going to transition you out of it. So I know that you're at a good place when we're done coaching. So no matter what, I'm not going to leave a client, oh, hey, fat loss phase is done. Or let's just fat loss diet till you're done. Like I will make sure that a client's in a good position because it is so important. So with all my clients, I usually run a maintenance or building phase following the fat loss diet. And again, there's, you know, potentially use a reverse diet, which I've talked about multiple times in previous episodes, just search reverse diet and that will come up. So those are the laws of fat loss. Again, it's important to have these structures and laws around it because that's going to set you up for more success during and after the fat loss diet. So if you're interested in learning more, please reach out on Instagram or anywhere else, and I would love to help you out. But that's it for this episode, and I will talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening. If you want more free content like this, follow me on Instagram at jeffh91_ or visit jhhealth.net. See you next time.